Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, who just made me laugh as we were coming on. And we're coming to you from Dallas, Texas. You need to know that. And we are coming to you from Herb's Coffee House, which is one of the best places where a lot of Christian ministry takes place and good coffee is sold. We're in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. If you have your Bible, please turn to it. We have a short devotion, and we're going to Kent and I are going to talk about it. The title of this is Faithful Unto Death. Faithful Unto Death. And I want to begin by reading Revelation 2 and verse 10. This Jesus is really the author of this. He dictated it to the Apostle John. John wrote it down and now has handed it to the pastor of the church at Smyrna. Probably handed it to someone who has traveled with it, who will then carry it to Smyrna and hand it to the pastors. This is like a relay race, Kent. And the pastor will stand up and read this to the church. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Kent, there's a real note of sobering reality to this verse. I mean, can you imagine, Kent, you and I go to Trinity Bible Church. Can you imagine if we received a personal letter from Jesus, the head of the church, and I was asked to stand up and read this to the whole church, that you will receive tribulation and the whole church is going to be put into prison? I mean, that's in essence what Jesus is saying here. And Jesus begins by saying, do not fear. They should not fear because Jesus is Lord over all the circumstances of their lives. And it was even through Christ's own persecution that great spiritual blessing has come to us through his death upon the cross. And the same will be true for this church, that there will be spiritual blessing that will come to others as they will undergo this tribulation. So he says, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. In the previous verse, he talked about Satan. He talked about false religion and apostate religion as being a synagogue of Satan. And here he says the devil's about to cast some of you into prison. It would be their persecutors would be those in this godless cult, if you will, this sect of Judaism. And so the devil is behind this persecution. And Jesus says to these true believers, you're about to be cast into prison. And you're going to be put into chains. And you're going to be held. And you're not going to escape. He says, so that you will be tested. And the test is the genuineness and the reality of their faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, it's easy. It is for me easy to be a Christian when everything's going great. But it's when we are confronted with unbelievers who come against the truth. We're put to the test. Our mettle is tested. Is our faith genuine and real, or do we just fold our tent and collapse? And this church will prove to be faithful, and they will be put to the test. And Jesus said, you will have tribulation for 10 days. In the word tribulation here, the word has the effect of being squeezed, almost that the life is coming out of you, like you're in a death grip. And he says for 10 days, whether this is 10 literal days or it's representative, really isn't even the point. The fact is, you're going to be slammed into prison, and you are going to be crushed under this persecution. And so Jesus calls upon the church. He says, be faithful unto death. And this is really a harbinger of what is to come for them, that this will cost many of them their lives. They will suffer unto death. They will die martyrs' deaths. And be faithful. Don't pull back on your testimony for Christ, because on the other side of death, there awaits the crown of life, and you will be awarded this. And Jesus said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And this is not saying that they have to be faithful in order to earn eternal life. Jesus is just saying that you will enter into the fullness of eternal life, represented here metaphorically by this crown of life. That's what's awaiting you. You will be crowned by the Lord Himself for your suffering for the gospel. You will be recognized in heaven. You'll be called out by the Lord and rewarded in heaven with an even greater measure of reward, that this crown of life, because you have suffered for Christ. So, Kent, I need to stop. There's so much in this verse, and it's a glorious verse, and it's becoming more relevant to us every passing day.
And I think the first question, Steve, that our audience would want to ask is, make a comment, is say, you know, I don't want to suffer. Like, I get up in the morning, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to miss a meal. I don't want to be talked about. I don't want to be persecuted. I don't want that. And I think that's a natural instinct of being a human being. And so it seems to me that there is a twisted Christianity out there that says God doesn't want you to suffer. God doesn't want you to go through difficulty. And that's not true, is it?
It's not true, and that's a false gospel. And it's really even a cruel message to tell people that God wants you healthy and wealthy, and you never suffer, and if you do, it's because you don't have enough faith. That does not stand the test of Scripture at all. In fact, the Bible teaches the total opposite, that if you are walking with the Lord, you really are now living in a countercultural way, against the schemes of this world. And you're going to be met with resistance from the world and the devil. And you will suffer for your faith in different degrees, depending upon different believers and different settings and situations. But nevertheless, it's just a fact of life, and it's a part of living for Christ. And Kent, the verse that just flashes into my mind is Philippians 3 and verse 10. If I could just read it, because I want to quote it accurately. He says in Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death.
That was Donald Gray Barnhouse's favorite verse.
Oh, was it really? Yeah, you and I both love Donald Gray Barnhouse, great expositor of the Word of God. And there's a package deal here. The word "and" links all these together. It's not "or." Like, you can pick and choose which of these you want. It's all welded together to know Christ, to know the power of His resurrection, and to know the fellowship of His sufferings. It all is welded together and can't be separated. So that's just par for living the Christian life.
So, Steve, second question. Is there comfort that we can gather in this, that where He says Satan is doing this?
Yeah.
But Satan, if you can explain this, he can't do it unless the Lord allows it. Isn't that correct?
That is true. And we're given insight from that in Job chapter 1 and 2, that actually God was the one who threw Job's name into the hat and brought up to the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. He fears me and is trustworthy and faithful." And it's by God's initiative, and God even defined the boundaries to which Satan could bring affliction to Job. And then after the first round, there's a second round, and God brings Job back up again and even removes the fence posts and gives the devil even fuller access to bring difficulty into Job's life. And so God remains sovereign even over the God of this age. That's a small g, God of this age.
Right, right. So, Steve, a lot of us are are not suffering, some are getting ready to maybe suffer, some suffering now. Why would God allow us, His children, who He loves, to go through tribulation and suffering?
Yeah, that's the trillion-dollar question. And I think the answer is it purifies our faith. It weans us off this world. It causes us to live for the world to come. It deepens our roots in the Lord. It causes us to pray more. It prevents us from having a soft cultural Christianity.
Wow.
And it really, I think, deepens our convictions of concerning what we believe, because our roots grow deeper in the Lord when we're in the storms of life and the storms of persecution. And so all of those, plus more, it also helps us to identify with other people who are hurting and to be able to minister to them, because we know what it feels like to be slammed by the devil in difficult circumstances. So all those reasons and more, it's a part of even preparing us for heaven.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
To make certain that we're not too tied down mm-hmm. to this world.
Mm-hmm.
And to create really wow. a longing wow. to be with Christ in heaven. So God has His reasons. And I just want you to know that if you're going through difficult times because of your faith in Christ, maybe your family has rejected you, maybe you've suffered a loss of job from an unbelieving employer, whatever are the circumstances, just know that God has all wise purposes in it and through it, and ultimately to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. So may God bless you. May the Lord sustain you and help you as you go through these difficult times. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.